Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
There's something unsettling about places that should feel safe. Your home, your sanctuary, suddenly becoming a battleground between the known and the unknown. When you close your door at night, you expect the world outside to stay just that, outside. But what happens when something uninvited creeps in, unnoticed, and claims your space for its own? Tonight, we unravel a story from a quiet apartment complex on the outskirts of Chennai, where a young research officer thought he had found a perfect place to call home. But as the sweltering summer nights dragged on, whispers of something unseen began to echo through its corridors. It started with a scream, a desperate cry from a neighbor claiming to see someone or something vanish into thin air. What followed was a series of chilling events that would leave an entire community shaken and one man fleeing for his life. Was it all a trick of the mind? Or did a dark force stalk those who lived there, waiting for the perfect moment to strike? Let's get to the letter. They write, "Dear Tony, it was the early 1990s when I moved into what I thought was an ideal home. At the time, I was a young research officer assigned to an R&D center in Avedi, Chennai. My apartment was part of a newly built complex designed for officers like me, modern, furnished, and comfortable. It was perched on the third floor, the last unit in the corridor, and while it got uncomfortably hot in the summer, it was my haven. The layout was simple yet practical. The front door opened into a long living room that stretched to a small balcony at the back. To the left was the kitchen, a bathroom, and a single bedroom, with a large wooden closet and a window that let in plenty of light. At first, everything seemed normal, peaceful even. Life in the building was lively. Most of the residents were colleagues, some bachelors like me, others newly married couples. On the ground floor below me lived an army officer with his wife and young daughter. They were kind people, always ready to chat, and we often helped each other out with small favors. The officer's relatives were visiting from the north, and though the building sometimes echoed with laughter or the occasional argument, it never felt unsafe. Then came the night that changed everything. It was a stifling summer evening, and the power had been out since sunset. My wife, mother-in-law, and I were sitting outside our apartment in the corridor trying to catch a breeze. The air inside was unbearable, so we'd left the balcony door open in case the breeze found its way in. That's when we heard it, a scream that sent chills racing down my spine. It came from the ground floor. Peering over the railing, I saw the army officer's wife standing outside her apartment, shouting that there was a thief inside. She was terrified, her voice high-pitched and trembling. Without thinking, I raced downstairs, calling out to a few neighbors for help. When I reached her, she was clutching the latch of her front door, shaking as she explained what she had seen. She said she'd gone inside to fetch water for her relatives, when she saw a man in a white shirt and trousers standing near her bedroom door. His face, she said, was twisted in an expression of hatred. He stared at her for a moment, muttered something incomprehensible, and then turned and walked into the bedroom. But it didn't stop there. She swore she saw him walk across the bedroom and vanish into the closet. Her fear was palpable as she described how she had frozen, unable to scream at first, before finally running outside to lock the door. There was no other way in or out of that apartment. The balcony door was blocked by a refrigerator, and the only exit was the front door. We didn't waste any time. Grabbing sticks and a flashlight, a few of us went inside to confront whoever or whatever was there. The apartment was silent, the air thick with an unexplainable tension. We searched every room, calling out for the man to reveal himself. The living room was empty, the kitchen, the bathroom, nothing. Finally, we reached the bedroom. My friend shone his flashlight into every corner, the bed, the chairs, no sign of anyone. Then we opened the closet one door at a time, half expecting to find the intruder crouching inside, but it was empty too. There was no logical explanation. The army officer's wife was adamant about what she'd seen, but the house was completely secure, with no way in or out. We assured her that the apartment was safe, though none of us truly believed it. To calm her nerves, we stayed with her family outside, until the power returned. In the days that followed, we tried to rationalize the event. Some suggested it was a trick of the shadows or her imagination playing tricks on her in the dark. Others dismissed it entirely, but I couldn't shake the image of her trembling hands and the conviction in her voice. For a while, things went back to normal. Life in the building carried on as it always had. But every so often, I found myself glancing over my shoulder, wondering if we had missed something or someone that night. Life returned to its routine after that strange night, though an uneasiness lingered. The army officer's wife never saw the man again, but her story stuck with us. Every so often, I would find myself replaying her words, the hateful look in his eyes, the way he seemed to vanish into the closet. It was a detail I couldn't dismiss, no matter how much I tried. Months passed, and for the most part, the building remained quiet. But then it happened again, this time on the third floor, diagonally across from my apartment. The resident, S.A.J., was one of the toughest guys in the building, a bodybuilder who prided himself on his strength. He was the last person you'd expect to see rattled by fear. It was around 2 a.m. when S.A.J. burst out of his apartment, pounding on the door of his neighbor, Bal. Bal later told us that when he opened the door, S.A.J. looked like he'd seen death itself. He was drenched in sweat, trembling and struggling to catch his breath. Without saying a word, he pushed past Bal and collapsed onto the couch. The next morning, S.A.J. finally managed to tell us what had happened. He said he'd been fast asleep when he felt something or someone calling his name. At first, he thought it was a dream, but the voice was insistent, pulling him out of sleep. As his eyes adjusted to the darkness, he saw a shadowy figure standing at the foot of his bed. It wasn't just a shadow, he said. It had presence, weight. It was there. Before he could react, the figure moved closer and pressed down on his chest. He described the feeling as suffocating, like a vice tightening around his ribs. Then, as he struggled to breathe, the entity gripped his throat. He tried to cry out, but no sound came. For what felt like an eternity, he lay there, paralyzed as the entity choked the life out of him. Just as he thought he would pass out, the pressure lifted and the figure vanished. Gasping for air, he bolted out of bed and ran straight to Bal's apartment. S.A.J. didn't sleep in his own apartment after that. He refused to be alone at night, and within weeks, he requested a transfer to another facility far away from Chennai. When he left, he didn't say goodbye. We were all shaken by what had happened to him, but no one talked about it openly. There was an unspoken agreement to move on, to pretend it hadn't happened. Still, I couldn't help but wonder, was the entity S.A.J. encountered the same one the army officer's wife had seen? The more I thought about it, the more the pieces seemed to fit. Both described a figure filled with malice, something that didn't just watch but actively sought to harm, and both incidents centered on the bedroom in that damn closet. After S.A.J.'s departure, the building fell quiet again, but the atmosphere had changed. The sense of camaraderie we'd all enjoyed in the beginning was gone, replaced by something heavier. Even when nothing strange happened, I couldn't shake the feeling that we weren't alone. Years later, I left the apartment complex and moved on with my life, but I've never been able to forget those nights. Sometimes I wonder if the building still stands, if new tenants ever experienced anything like we did. Other times I tell myself it was all just a coincidence, a series of isolated incidents blown out of proportion. But late at night, when the world is quiet and I'm alone with my thoughts, I can still picture that closet. And I wonder, what would we have found if we'd kept digging? Yours, a former resident. Stories like these leave us grappling with more questions than answers. Was this a case of heightened emotions, stress, and imagination creating something out of nothing? Or was there truly a dark force lurking in that building? Something that fed on fear and targeted its victims one by one. Let's start with the psychological perspective. Sleep paralysis could explain S.A.J.'s terrifying encounter. It's a condition where the body is temporarily immobilized while transitioning between sleep and wakefulness. During these moments, people often report seeing shadowy figures or feeling an overwhelming sense of dread. Perhaps the intense summer heat, sleepless nights, and isolation magnified his stress, making him more susceptible to such an episode. But that doesn't explain the experience of the Army officer's wife. Her sighting didn't happen while she was sleeping. It was in her own home, in full awareness. Could it have been a case of pareidolia, the mind's tendency to see patterns or figures and shadows and dim light? Or was it something far more chilling? The supernatural possibility is hard to ignore. The consistency between the two accounts, the figure's presence near bedrooms, its oppressive energy, suggests something more than coincidence. Many cultures have legends of spirits or entities tied to specific locations. Could this apartment building have been the site of something tragic or violent in the past, leaving behind a malevolent presence? Or was it a wandering spirit drawn to the vulnerability of its residents? And then, there's the closet. Why did the figure always seem connected to that small, confined space? Could it have been a portal of some kind, or just a convenient focal point for fear? Ultimately, what makes this story truly unsettling isn't just the unexplained events, but how they affected those involved. The fear was real, powerful enough to drive a man to abandon his home and haunt the memories of those who stayed behind. What do you think? Was this a case of overactive imaginations or a glimpse into something we can't quite explain? As always, these mysteries stay with us, leaving us wondering what might still be lurking in the shadows, waiting to be seen. Until next time, stay curious and stay cautious.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.